welcome to Rewatchable episode number 325. Today, we're talking about Veronica Mars season 4, episode 6, Entering a World of Pain. My name is Danielle, and I will be your host for today, and I am joined by three very lovely ladies. We have Kendra, Kristen, and Ariana. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so through multiple avenues. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. You can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can join our Facebook group. It's called Rewatchables Rewinders. You can tell it's us because there's Veronica Mars all over it. So come join our discussions there, or like I said, you can get in contact with us through all of those avenues. We love hearing from people, so please use them. So like I said, I'm Danielle. You're probably going to get used to my voice if you're not already, but we like to do fun facts at the top of every episode to make sure that you're used to everybody's voices. Let's see, Kristen, what is your fun fact for today?
My fun fact is that Big Brother is coming to an end, and I think I only have 2 weeks left before we'll crown the winner of Big Brother 21, and it is coming back next season, which I'm actually really glad about. But this season has been really rough because there haven't been a lot of like truly likable people in that house, because they all very early ganged up on some really wonderful people. Like there was a large contingent of people that formed an alliance and ganged up on some really wonderful human beings in that house. And my favorite being Nicole, who she's been an underdog all season long. Like they all kind of discounted her and never viewed her as a threat. Like early on, there was one event that kind of went really poorly for her, and then after that, she's just been kind of undervalued. And she is like, she's in the final four now, and she's won like three competitions really close together. And she's just pretty much an awesome human being. Like watching her deal with the pressure of being there, like she's the only one who's handling it very well. And I'm just really, really excited. And she's in the final three because she won this week's HOH. And now I just can't wait to see if she can pull off one last win and get herself to the final two. Because if she makes it to final two, then she just has to convince the jury to vote for her and she will win and everything will be okay. Because this entire season will end with the right person winning, which doesn't always happen. So lots of Big Brother thoughts this morning, but that's basically what's going on.
I've never seen that show, but it sounds really interesting.
It's crazy. I mean, a lot of people, I'm a huge Survivor fan, and Survivor is what got me into Big Brother because they're kind of polar opposites. Like they're kind of similar, but Survivor, they're stranding you on a desert island somewhere with nothing, and Big Brother, you're stuck in a house, but you basically have everything. You're not needing anything, but you are isolated from everyone. Whereas Big Brother or a Survivor, you're isolated from the world, but you have all of these people and everything you could possibly need on this island. You know, like it's, you have what you need on the island, but you're not, it's not like a bountiful world of here, you know, all the comfort you could possibly need. But it's the game and manipulating people and like trying to get people to do what you want so that you can get to the end and win it it's very interesting to me. It's all the dynamics. It's not, I like the social dynamic and like watching people try to navigate like being friends with people and also voting them out and figuring out how to not anger them as you send them out the door. And all of that is very fascinating to me. So that's more or less why I like the show.
That sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. I will have to give it a try at some point.
I mean, last season was really good, honestly. And there have been some rough ones in the last couple of years, but the older seasons are actually like really, really good. I think it was season 14 that was like standout. Like people still talk about it. So I'll have to come up with a list and be like, watch this one first so you don't watch a terrible one and be like, okay, what the hell is Kristen talking about?
Well, I know who to call for when I get there.
For sure.
Awesome. Ariana, what is your fun fact for the week?
My fun fact is that is really more of a recommendation. And it's that I finished watching For Weddings and a Funeral, the series this week. This is the series finale. And I wish more people would watch it so I could have someone to talk to about it. But it was really, really fun. And it was something, I don't know if you binge watch it, if it will have quite the same effect. Because I really enjoyed I hated it. But like, it was something that I looked forward to every week. And I would get really excited, like, oh, it's Tuesday, it's on today. And it was just such a like lovely hour where you got a romantic comedy every week and you just got to sit there, and it was legitimately funny because it's Mindy Kaling. So the jokes are there, but it was so like, I also always cried like every episode. So yeah, I just wish that there was more romantic comedies and like good ones. Like there's so many bad ones, obviously, like on TV. Not to bash those, but like, I wish that we had some more like this show that you can do it really well and have the characters be compelling and funny, and it can be both funny and romantic. Although I did have some issues with the end, but
my friend, had me watch the first episode and I really liked it. And I need to go and watch the rest. So I will be your friend and I will come to you with thoughts when I have them.
I Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know. Now I'm slightly worried about the end.
No. Okay. So, I mean, this is not a spoiler, but I just watched the end and I was like, I feel like this would, I kind of ended up feeling like the real love story was between the two friends. Like that's kind of how it worked out, just because of, and I don't know, the ending was good. Like I said, I cried, but just afterward I was like, I really feel like that was the real love story of this season, and maybe that's what should have been the
focus of the ending.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay, that sounds great. Okay, I'm very much more excited now to hear that you gave it your stamp of approval. And so for my fun fact for the week, I'm actually right now sitting in my clothes from last night with my makeup from last night, because I went to an emo night at a local music venue, basically, where the DJ just played a bunch of 2000s emo punk, whatever music, like hits all night. And I crashed with a friend and sped back home so that I could record with you this morning. But my voice is slightly shot because I was screaming like Paramore and Fall Out Boy lyrics all night long, but it was probably one of the best nights I've ever had. So my fun fact is that I am almost 29 years old and I'm very much still an emo kid at heart.
Aww.
But also I am very tired because I am 29 years old and got like 2 hours of sleep. So
I can understand that. Yeah.
it's an interesting balance here, but we're going to be okay because we are talking about Veronica Mars, which is also one of my favorite things in addition to emo music. So I'm excited to jump into today's discussion of Entering a World of Pain. But before we do have a recap here that reads, in this episode, Logan leaves to serve his country and Veronica gets cock-blocked from having an affair. Meanwhile, Big Dick opens up to being the season's big bad, and Weevil's sister is a snitch. So there's quite a bit that happens in this episode, and we get a few answers to things, and obviously, as always, we get more questions. But the first thing that I want to tackle is kind of one of the season's big questions, and that's who is the bomber, or like at least for the first bomb, because we find out that Big Dick and Clyde did set off that first bomb, but because of the internet outage at the Sea Sprite, it didn't go off at the time that they wanted it to. Kristen, I know that you are watching along kind of episode by episode. So you don't know how all of this ends, but were you surprised to get this kind of reveal at this point in the season?
Wait, which reveal?
That big dick.
Exactly.
Okay, fair. Okay, fair. That big dick and Clyde did in fact set off that first bomb. So it didn't feel like a reveal then.
Well, it did, because it is kind of like we're getting solid concrete evidence that it's them. I mean, we've had a lot of things lead us kind of to that eventuality. Like Veronica definitely was on them. She had figured it out. But it doesn't surprise me because I've watched way too many like procedurals where they want you to think that it's one person and that one person is responsible for everything. But like this, you know, they give you some information like this before the end is actually there. And you find out that it's, you know, like, it's not that it's not bad that they're the bad guy, but like you find out that that's not all that's going on. And that obviously there's something more at work here and all of that. So like, it doesn't surprise me that we got a reveal like this 2 episodes out from the end of the season, because there's still so much more going on. And clearly we still have some mystery to solve before the end here. So it doesn't surprise me that we got it, but, and it doesn't surprise me that it's Big Dick and Clyde who are ultimately responsible for that. But there's definitely still mystery alive in the show, despite the fact that we already know it was them who did the first one.
Does it seem, I mean, I guess we don't know a ton about Big Dick, and obviously Clyde was very much involved in things, so maybe he didn't have as much of a role in anything, but like, did Big Dick seem like the type of person who would do some kind of bombing? Or the way in which he speaks about it, yes, it had never, the intention was never to hurt anyone, but even though they did, he still just seems very flippant about it. Does that kind of jive with how we feel about Big Dick?
I mean, he raised Beaver.
That's a great point, yes.
So it's not that
far. Well, raised is a strong word, I think, there, too.
Yeah, yeah. True, very true. But, I mean, if it doesn't – I was surprised with how cold and removed he was about it. Not that it surprised me that he could be that way, but, like, to see it happen in front of your eyes, like, for someone to say, it wasn't supposed to kill anybody – but it did, things happen, oh well. Like 4 or 5 people, I forget the number, died in that explosion that weren't supposed to, that were completely unrelated, and he has absolutely zero remorse about killing people. Like that's not cool. Like that's really, really not okay. So like it's rough to see. I'm not all that surprised, because he is not the kind of man who cares about a lot of things except for his own well-being and maybe that of Dick at this point, of little Dick, because he seems to care about Dick in some capacity. I don't know how much.
To some extent.
Yeah, I don't know at this point, but yeah, it's not surprising, but it also is, because nobody should react like that to having killed 4 people accidentally. Well, quote unquote accidentally, but he's still a terrible person, and it's not shocking in that way, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I hate everything about this.
Yes, please explain.
And Kristen mentioning Beaver just gave me like a new reason to hate this, but I mean, I hate how anticlimactic this was, because this is a big reveal and they just flat out told us, but they also didn't tell us like in a grand villain speech, you know, like we're like overhearing it on this video. So it's like important information that we're not really getting in a good way, but also, so that's like really lame, especially considering that Big Dick is the only villain or potential suspect that is from the old series, and he's the only one who's in any way at all connected to Veronica via Dick and via Beaver. So he should be an important villain. And I also hate like the reasoning behind this. I just think it's so stupid and careless, and really just, I kind of expect better from them. Like, I don't really, like, it's not the bomb thing and that they don't care people died. It's that they planted this bomb and just expected it to magically work how it was supposed to, and that nobody would die. Like, that they didn't intend for anyone to die is the part that I have an issue with. Like, how dumb are you to plant this bomb in a public place and be like, oh, it's going to be fine. But also, now that Kristen has brought up Beaver, it is very weird that no one has mentioned that, like, his son murdered all these people. Like, it is very weird that this doesn't really get brought up.
I think Maddie had an offhand remark about, like, telling Veronica, like, and did you know that he had a son who, like, killed someone at the top of the Grand? And Veronica's like, yep, I know. But that is the only acknowledgement for such a traumatic event. And I agree, that does feel very strange. It's like everybody kind of forgets. I think you bring up a lot of good points. And actually, that's one of the things that I didn't like about this season. Not that I expected or wanted it to pander to the fans in the same way that the movie did, but it seems like it was acknowledging its background, but then kind of doing so in a way that was just to be able to say that they did it.
And honestly, for me, I know a lot of people hated the movie, but like, and those same people like loved this season, were like, oh my God, this season was genius. It just feels like the old days. And to me, it really doesn't, because in real life, especially like in a small town like this, everyone would constantly be talking about how his son murdered all these people. And especially if he's growing to this kind of power and there's these bombs going off, everyone would, or Dick, like everyone would just be talking about this. So everyone would be bringing up the past. That's all they have to talk about.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is dumb.
Yeah. I will say that, and I want to get Kendra's thoughts on this when she was going through it for the first time too, but I agree with you, Ariana. I think that this reveal was very anticlimactic. Like, it didn't, I was with the season. I was like, okay, I kind of like what's going on so far, but I didn't like the predictability of it. Because if there's one thing that Veronica Mars does really well, is it's the bait and switch. And so to have this sort of reveal happen for at least the first bombing, to have it happen when it did, and to have it happen where there's no question that they were the ones who did the first bomb, it just didn't jive with how Veronica Mars has felt for me in the past, and it didn't live up to my expectations. It just didn't have that weight to it.
Also, I wanted to, who the hell, sorry, my brain is like still trying to wake up, I think.
No, it's fine. I like this. Who the hell?
Who the hell uses Wi-Fi to set their bomb, by the way? Dick specifically says the Wi-Fi going down or whatever is what delayed the bomb's explosion. Like, who uses Wi-Fi to set their bomb?
Yeah, like a public Wi-Fi.
Nobody does that. Like, I've watched enough, you know, between Bones and CSI and NCIS and all of those. Like, my parents love those. And I love Bones.
Kristen knows how to set a bomb.
She does.
Yeah, that's my skill set. No, not at all. No, I've watched enough of these. Like, you use a cell, like, people, a lot of them use cell phone triggers and, like, timers and whatever. Like, I've seen enough Mission Impossible movies to know how you can set off a bomb. But, like, nobody uses Wi-Fi. So that really bugged me. So I was like, that just seems really nonsensical.
And, I mean, not that Clyde is, he's never really dealt with bombs, so I guess not that he's super knowledgeable. But at the same time, Big Dick is rich. Like, you think they could get a little bit better hardware than just, like, public Wi-Fi.
Yeah. and very unpredictable. I mean, come on. We all know how crazy Wi-Fi can be. So, like, why would you assume that you're going to be fine and that everything's going to go to plan? Like, that yeah. just really, yeah, poorly managed. But
after watching, when Kendra and I both had the screeners and, like, after watching it, I know, Kendra, you had a more positive opinion on the season than I did. Not that I hated it for any reason or anything like that, but with that in mind, did you have a different take on how all of this went down?
All of this being...
meaning like the big dick reveal at this point with the way in which it was revealed and him, I guess, using Wi-Fi too, if you want to speak to that.
I don't think I hated it as much as you guys seem to have. And that's probably because I am notoriously terrible at solving mysteries in media, but they made it really obvious coming up to this that they were responsible for something. So I do agree that it felt a little anticlimactic when they were just kind of like, yeah, we did that. I liked the scene because, like, it kind of showed exactly what Veronica said in the last episode about, like, I know Keith Myers can't be bought, and, like, he kind of just waltzed into that room with those with kind of his friend and, like, a super high powered guy in the community. And he was like, oh yeah, like, I know exactly what you did. And he came across really well in that scene, but I thought I was fine with it, especially since it's not the grand reveal of the season. Like, it's, they just did that one bombing as far as we know so far. So I didn't hate it as much, but I agree that it was a little anticlimactic.
So you mentioned Keith and Clyde, and I really like that scene as well. And it's interesting to watch their relationship at work. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit too, because Keith is very much, I don't know, like, accusing them of bombing or kind of beating around the idea of that, where he's asking about the shell companies and Clyde knows what's going on, but he doesn't seem like mad that it happened. At this point, does it feel like Clyde, one, respects Keith, and two, thinks of him as a friend? Like, how do we think he feels about him at this point? Because it's really interesting, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
It did all kind of, like, turn around on a dime, didn't it? Like, last week, Keith is going out hunting with the guy, and yes, he's a little suspicious, but last week, I would have answered this and said, Keith 100%, like, sees... maybe about 95% sees Clyde as, like, a friend, because, like, it still seemed like he thought he was innocent. He thought he was a decent guy. But this week, him walking into that room and, like, acting all, like, Keithy, I don't even know. Like, he was acting his jovial, like, trying not to arouse suspicion self. Like, I play with the big dogs all the time. Look at me, I'm Keith Mars. Like, he walked in there like he owned the place. And he just, it didn't seem like he was trying to, like, trap them. But honestly, Clyde knew exactly what Keith was up to the minute he walked in the room. He knew Keith had information and was trying to figure it out and trying to get to the end, you know, trying to figure out that they are the ones who set the first bomb and trying to figure out how responsible they are for everything that's happened since. So, like, I want to say that Keith still kind of sees Clyde as, like, a possible friend, but at the same time, he definitely knows he's involved somehow. Like, these two are not innocent, and Keith is definitely aware of that. So it's a little bit of a toss-up as to whether Keith thinks Clyde is actually his friend or whether he's just kind of being used a little bit to divert suspicion from them. So honestly, I'm having a hard time answering that question.
I think as far as Clyde's concerned, I think after this episode, I believe that Veronica was right when she said that Clyde left his phone in front of Keith on purpose. I think for the most part, like, Clyde's a really smart guy and he's more using Keith than he is wanting to be his friend.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I think their relationship is one of the most interesting. Last week we were talking about how we haven't really ever seen Keith with friends, or even really interacting on the same level with someone his own age, basically. And I think their dynamic is really interesting because you can tell that they really respect each other and they don't hate each other, but there's just something between them that is just fascinating. But let's set aside Big Dick and Clyde for a minute and kind of focus on Pizza Guy. Pizza Guy wasn't really in last week's episode a lot. We only saw him with a duck in his bed, basically. So he's very much back in this episode, kind of taking his theory about the prostitute oneself to the police. And after the police basically kick him out of the office, or out of the station, he takes it to Veronica and Keith. I don't know. When going through this the first time, at this point, I was really over Pizza Guy. And I mean, I think that's part of the point, but I don't know. Is he annoying enough to where, like, it's fine to keep him around? Or do we, at this point, does he just kind of seem uninteresting and like he's distracting from everything else?
I hate him, and he's played by Patton Oswalt, who I love, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it's such a shame.
You want to like him because obviously he's kind of odd and different, and he's a new character, and I personally think the whole like murder whatever they call themselves, I can't remember now.
The Murderheads?
The Murderheads, thank you. The whole Murderheads thing I think is kind of hilarious because they want to be like PIs, like they want to be Veronica and they're just not. I want to like him, but he's definitely, he's cried wolf way too many times already. Like he just keeps making these grand declarations and deciding that he knows what's going on, which is not how Keith and Veronica do things. It's not how, I mean, it's more reminiscent of sheriffs gone by than it is Keith and Veronica. Like they like to keep things close to the vest until they have proof or they have some sort of like solid evidence that so-and-so is responsible for this or so-and-so is innocent. Like they like to play things close to the vest. Whereas this guy who clearly idealizes Keith and Veronica and definitely, you know, wishes that he could do more of what they do is like an actual, you know, he is the most amateur of PI that has ever existed in this show. And he definitely doesn't have the skill set to be doing the things he's doing and accusing the people he's accusing. And it's just really frustrating because he could have been this really fun, interesting, like, foil for both Veronica and Keith and, like, the actual bombers and, like, him kind of floating around in the middle, untethered to either side and, like, a possible suspect, yes, or whatever, could have been really interesting, but he doesn't come off that way. He just comes off as kind of this pest who doesn't follow anybody's rules and because of that, he's constantly getting himself either in trouble or is rousing more suspicion toward him because he was present for way too much of this and knows more than you'd think he should and all of that. So I wish I liked him more, but he just keeps getting in the way.
And with that point, I think it's interesting that Veronica entrusts him with the direction in which she's taking some part of the investigation. It's hard to tell, at least for me, at the end of the episode when she asks for his help trying to figure out what happened with the college kids, the frat bros, that she kind of, no one else really knows this is going on. She got that information from Leo, just leaving his papers out for her, which we'll get to in a second. But like nobody else really knows this direction that she's taking. And she's entrusting this to a group of murder heads. Does it seem like she's doing so in order to try to both perhaps get information about the college kids and see whether or not Patton Oswalt, Pizza Guy, is trustworthy, or that she just really wants that information and knows that they have the resources and isn't really thinking about how off Pizza Guy feels sometimes?
My first thought when I saw it was that she was just trying to get rid of him by giving him something to do, and she knew the frat guys were terrible, so that was kind of fun for her. But maybe if he got information, that's just a bonus.
That's more or less what I thought too. Was like, this is, it's kind of busy work. It could end up giving her some really valuable information, but she's not like necessarily expecting it to. So by handing it off to him, it takes some work off her plate and will keep them happy.
So I guess then by that token, it kind of feels at this point that her going to investigate what happened with these frat bros feels like busy work. Like, it doesn't feel related and is not well integrated.
Well, I mean, if Leo thinks it's a good enough lead, then I know Veronica didn't think of it that way. Like, if he's investigating it in regards to all of this, then Veronica is definitely going to follow the lead and see what it means. Like, is there somebody here who could be attached to everything else going on? But at the end, when we find out that he left it out on purpose and she's passing it off, then it starts to feel like busy work. Like, it didn't when she first discovered it, but now I kind of wonder if it is.
I mean, if anything, we get more scenes of Veronica in a frat house, because we didn't get enough of those in the original series. And I mean, Pizza Guy aside, it was weird to see her interact with those frat bros, and they kept thinking she was a student. And by all looks of it, she still looks like a student, which is very strange. I don't know. When watching this, I wasn't expecting her to go back to college in this way, or like have college play a role in this way. And it just felt weird to have her deal with people like this again. Okay. Another one of the leads that she kind of, that Veronica follows up on in this episode that is a little more tangential to what she had been doing previously, was going after the cartel. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but Pizza Guy brings the cartel to her attention. Or no, I'm sorry. We skipped an entire thing to get there. But I want to go about the cartel first and then kind of backtrack for how she got that information. But we finally see her interacting with the cartel members to the point where she and Keith go on like a funny, one of their old funny like ruses to try to get information, where she's weeding through the hotel room and he's trying to distract in the hallway. But then there's that scene of where Veronica can't tell whether or not her dad is actually having a heart attack. I don't think that I was fooled by it in the moment, but I think I had a little bit of trepidation about it. Did it ever seem like perhaps Keith wasn't faking it at that point? Or was it more, I mean, obviously it's interesting to watch for Veronica's reaction, but did anyone here ever feel like, oh, maybe this isn't an act?
I think the beginning of it looked so much like an act, to the point where I can't even believe that girl fell for it. Like, he just like all of a sudden like fell to the floor in like the most comedic way. So I don't think for the audience it could have really felt real, but like where Veronica just kind of walked in halfway through and he had kind of gotten more into the groove of it, I can understand why she felt that way. I think it's just really telling about what she's kind of thinking about her dad right now, how his health is on her mind and she's a little bit scared of that.
Oh yeah, I mean, she's going to walk away and that fear is just on her face.
Like, and you can tell she's kind of weighing the, I could walk away right now because he's trying to save me and get me out of there, but if this is real, like, could I walk away right now? Like, she's weighing the option of, is it worth it to walk away and keep the ruse, or should I go and check? Because if it is real, I will never forgive myself, kind of thing.
It's just interesting to see their relationship in the like dependent caretaker kind of way this season, because we've never seen it that way. They've both been very independent previously, and now there's this new dynamic that just, it obviously works for them, and obviously like that's a fear for all of us who are getting into our 20s, 30s. Like, I'm afraid for my parents all the time, or I'm going to wakes and funerals for people who are their age, and like my heart breaks for those people's kids, and I can't imagine going through something like that. So it's interesting the way in which this is kind of weaving this in with these two people who have always been close but have always been independent and never really acknowledged the fact that like this might happen, or like that there might be a time where one has to be dependent on the other. I like that dynamic between the two of them. But to backtrack, the reason why they are checking out the cartel members is because Logan, bless Logan in this episode, Logan finally gets a lead about who is blackmailing Congressman Maloof. And I don't know, I was surprised when I first saw it, but it really makes a lot of sense. But did it come as any surprise that the person who was blackmailing the congressman was basically a teenager, like a terrible, terrible teenager?
That was definitely the more interesting reveal for me in this episode. I mean, yes, it's 100% possible. And I never discounted the fact that it could be some like random teenager guy, you know, teenager. But it does seem like kind of insane that, you know, we watched Maloof be all stressed out over this and all of that because someone had all this information, and you can tell he thought it was somebody who could like truly ruin his life. It's the opposition. It's someone, you know, like he had these imaginings of it being his worst enemy, or, you know, whomever, but it ends up being this kid who thinks it's funny that he has had him, you know, he has been pulling his strings and made him do whatever he wanted. Like that was more of a shock for me than the Big Dick and Clyde reveal. Like this definitely, especially with how Logan like handles it, is bigger news to me than the other, which is kind of ridiculous considering that the bomb is the central mystery like of the season. So that is kind of crazy.
I mean, I don't think the blackmailer was ever anything I really wanted to find out. Like, it was never anything that I felt like I needed to know. But I like seeing Logan in this capacity. Like, I like seeing him joking around with people about owing each other favors and following up on some leads. And I forgot just how cunning Logan can be. When he's being pals with this teenager and they're just being like terrible and racist towards each other, and then just to see him make that switch was really impressive to me.
Right? Like, it makes you think about like Logan the soldier and like what he can do with these new skills too. It's like, holy cow.
And Logan's obviously smart, because just if only because of the way that he can banter so well with Veronica, like you need to be so quick to be able to do that. But we don't get to see Logan being super intelligent a lot. And I think this is another way that just proves that. Like, he obviously went in there, like he had all his wits about him. He knew exactly what to say, and he got the job done.
And going in, his buddy had told him like, you'd better be packing, like with what they were finding out about this person. They had no idea it was a teenager. And so, yeah, like you were saying, he had to think on his feet pretty quickly. I don't know. It's really interesting. And I like seeing Logan in this capacity. It kind of stinks that he does this, but obviously like doesn't get much recognition for it. Or like he's not involved in the case or anything. He's just helping.
Plus, this does kind of help him with the Maloofs. Like, I mean, he he's working as his like security guy. So like it does fall within his purview to like handle the threat. But let's face it, Logan is there to see how this can also help Veronica, like knowing who the blackmailer is and kind of like setting that aside, like you can kind of get rid of that being a possibility for the bomber. So it is, I mean, he's there. His purposes are kind of twofold, but you know that he's really there because he knows that this could be the end of one thread of possible suspects for Veronica too.
Well, and was it more interesting to get the information about Maloof paying off the cartel guys through Logan's investigation or through, which we'll get to in a second, but the brother actually still being alive and coming to kill Maloof? I think both of them in tandem were interesting to watch because it was kind of like a race to see what would unfold from which and when. But I guess my question is either of them more effective in painting Maloof as suspicious or like for this coming to light? Or do we not even care about the fact that Maloof paid off two cartel guys to murder the brothers of his brother's fiance? Because it feels like small beans almost at this point.
Well, we already knew he did that, right?
Right, we did. But to, I think there's the knowing and then almost the, I don't know, I feel like the seeking justice part is both interesting to me and also one of the least interesting things about this season. Like, I obviously don't want him to get away with this, but at the same time, I don't know if I care about it within the context of everything else that's going on.
I mean, the cartel guys are my least favorite part of all of this because it's still, even seeing things kind of get weaved back together with them and like find out how they're involved, I still don't care. Like, I don't see why they're here and why they're like a really integral, interesting part of this whole thing. Like, it still feels like they're just kind of extraneous and they're just kind of around to put another wrinkle in all of this when you don't really need them. And so I think that kind of weighs on how all of the reveal thing has gone on. Like, I did think it was interesting that Logan went there for one purpose and ends up walking out with some really helpful information for Veronica that he definitely didn't expect to get from this guy. And so walking out with the picture of two cartel guys that are linked to Maloof that he's paid off is definitely more helpful information than just finding out who the blackmailer is. But again, yeah, I know that the blackmailers were paid off by Maloof and they took out the one brother and tried to take out the other, and that this is supposedly something that we're supposed to like care about. But because I don't really know, like, I don't care that these two guys are there, it makes it hard for me to like care too much about why, you know, Maloof paid them off. And if anything, I'm just kind of waiting for him to get his comeuppance for having crossed the line into having these two guys murdered.
Yeah, I think a lot of this episode was tiny reveals that ended up exonerating people, if anything, of the big crime. So none of it really made that much of an impact. But I think what we did get in all of those tiny reveals were some character moments that were kind of cool. Like, we saw a little bit of Keith doing something cool. We saw a new side of Logan. All of that kind of coming together to give us answers that turned out to not be that important, but that needed to be tied up anyway.
And I think it also gave an interesting moment with Weevil too, in talking about like character moments. I think it gave him, though he doesn't have a ton in this episode, do he and Veronica have that fight in this episode? I can't remember now. Do they have a fight in this episode, or was that the last one?
Yeah, they have another smaller conversation in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The one that pizza guy walks in on, yeah.
Yes. So like, we get that, but then we get this moment later where the sister is totally snitching on Veronica because she likes her new boyfriend. And the new boyfriend briefly mentions, like, well, I'll just have to go and have a chat and see what she wants. And you get that the camera lingers on Weevil's face that kind of gives you the idea that it's going to be something that's not quite a chat. But you can tell that he is conflicted about how he feels, because obviously he's had some issues with Veronica, but at the same time, like, he still loves her. They're still friends. And he kind of knows that there's some more trouble kind of coming her way. And I think I really loved that moment, now that I think more on it.
They also referred to her as Weevil's blonde crush, and he kind of freaked out in a cute and interesting way.
Like, I don't have a crush on her. I don't like her.
Yeah. What are you talking about? They brought up, I don't know if I brought this up, but at the Comic-Con panel, one of the questions that they asked Francis was if Weevil was in love with Veronica, which honestly is not something I've ever even thought of before. But I'm like, that's so interesting that they purposely asked that question when, like, they showed the episode in that panel. There was very little time for questions, and that's one of the ones that they asked. And he kind of responded and be like, of course he loves her. Like, do you know how many times, like, she's gotten him out of jail? Like, it wasn't really a serious answer, but it kind of made me think of it in a way that I hadn't before.
Yeah, like that romantic love.
I mean, I definitely think he could have, and probably did, have a little crush on her back in the day. Like, she dug him out of a lot of scrapes and is a very smart girl. And I can see him maybe having had a little bit of a thing for her. Especially in the wake of, like, Lily dying and all of that. Like, there's some very complicated emotions there. But now, even if they weren't fighting, I wouldn't necessarily think he still had a crush on her.
I feel like we discussed this a lot in the original series, but maybe I'm remembering wrong. But I feel like we assumed that they all had crushes on her. That Wallace and Weevil, and obviously Logan, like, all had crushes on her. And with Weevil and Wallace, like, they obviously love her as a friend so much more. But it is, like, I feel like they have a, okay, like, this is so random, but Kristen will get this. Like, in Legacies, how, like, everyone has a crush on Hope.
Yeah.
But, like, but it's not, like, I don't feel like it's, like, a real crush. I mean, for some people it is, but it's just more, like, she's the coolest person in the room.
Yeah.
So everyone has a crush on her. I sort of feel like that's how it is with Veronica. Like, they have a crush on her because she's there, but they don't actually, like, expect anything to come out of it. Like, they're not,
like, it's not an actionable crush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like a, she's like, she's how we all have crushes on a celebrity.
Well, like, she's such a vibrant person. I can see why, especially in, like, high school, it would be hard not to have some sort of, like, little crush for her. Like, she just was everywhere and always involved and, you know, was constantly bringing down, you know, the principal or whatever. Like, she was a very vibrant, interesting, fun person to be around. So, like, I can definitely see almost everyone she comes into contact with kind of having a little bit of a crush on her in high school. These days, maybe not as much, but back then, definitely.
And, like, the things that they do for her, they do so much with her so often not equally giving back in return. And I feel like that's what's most telling. But I think, if nothing else, Weevil really enjoys how smart she is and how often she feels like the only person who is as smart as him. And
I mean, are you trying to say that Hector's not smart? That he's not constantly quipping with Weevil all the time? Yeah, no, I think in the same way that Logan kind of has his equal in her, I think Weevil relates to her in the same way. Like, he is very, very smart, but I don't think the people around him are quite on his level. And so perhaps with Veronica, he doesn't have to dumb himself down or hold himself back, probably more so.
Well, I think he also kind of knows that she has a better read on him than anyone else in his life.
Yeah.
Everyone else sees him one way or another. Either he's you know, Weevil the criminal, Weevil the gang leader, you know, Weevil the whatever. Like, she has his number. She knows that, yes, he can be all those things, but he also has, like, good in him. Like, he can be a decent human being, and he's not always going to be the guilty party. And so I think that also is a reason why he kind of just has this attachment to Veronica, even if it's not really a crush. It's just like, she sees me and she knows that I'm not just one thing or another.
I'm going to disagree on that, Kristen, because maybe I would have said that earlier, but she has disappointed me so hard this season. And when is it that he talked to her last episode, right?
And this one. That's what, yeah, it's so confusing to keep it straight, but they had another argument.
Wait, which is... Is this the episode where he goes to the office, or is that last episode?
Both. Yeah.
which is the one where she's like super racist and he calls her out on it? That was the last one, right? This is the one where he tells her, he's like, watch your back, right? I'm getting confused.
Oh, so this one was the one that started from the fact that she kind of sent one of the icebox shitter. She sent him away, and Weevil was worried about that kid's mom and the fact that, like, that kid was the sole provider for the family, and that he has other families to look out for. So that was kind of like
And then she's like, you're just a thug or whatever. And yeah,
this episode was the one where she was like, stop taking money from the people that are trying to, like, get your people run out of this town. The last one was more surrounding the icebox shitter.
The icebox. Well, and also, like, the fact that Weevil kept saying, like, we don't all have choices like Veronica does. And she wasn't. Okay. I think that was the last one. That was the emphasis of the last one. Ugh, they have so many fights.
I have really hated how she's behaved towards Weevil this season. It's been really infuriating. And just basically the overall treatment. I mean, I've already talked about this. It's so annoying, but...
It's all good. I think with it being...
I'm really mad because on one of these scenes, I remember getting so mad at her. And it was like the first time where I was actually like really mad at Veronica and was like, you are a bitch and you're being super racist. And Weevil is right to call you out on all of this because you are being awful. And just like self-righteous in a really stupid way because she's such a bad person so much of the time. And here she's chastising someone who's like going about it the wrong way, but like trying to help people because he has no other way to.
He has no other way to help people and no other way to protect the people around him from like what's going on.
And he's like doing things out of necessity and she's doing things because she's still like in her punk phase that she never grew out of.
Yeah, that was one thing I really liked about his conversation with her in this episode. It kind of brought it back to what Logan and Keith were saying to her in the last episode for me about how he's like, you have this degree and everything, and like you just stay here in this town that you say that you hate. So like that kind of brought it back to when Logan was saying that she wasn't happy. Like, maybe she isn't happy, like, because she is constantly complaining about, like, how terrible the town is, and she stays, and she just keeps complaining about it, so maybe she just kind of is stuck in that cycle.
And then she chastises others for, like, making moves or not making the moves she thinks they should.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes me so mad every time she brings up his ex-wife. She does not know him, and, like, she doesn't. Like, she knows high school Weevil, but even then I really don't feel like she saw him. It is very weird that Veronica was like so into Logan, who was not a good guy, but he is funny. Like, he's funny. And with Weevil, she was always like talking down to him, and he was just as smart and just as funny. There's just like a lot of weird race dynamics on this show.
Yeah, and do you think there are weird race dynamics, and then there are like the ways in which Rob Thomas tries to pick and choose which ones he's going to confront or like talk about. And living in 2019 now, where we are trying, or we are expecting better of our media. It kind of feels like he's still doing the same thing he was doing before, and not trying to improve on how he's portraying race and how he's even calling himself out for things. And I mean, I know he's the creator, like he's not the sole writer or anything like that. But it hasn't seemed like it has grown as much as it probably should have, given where the show started with those conversations.
And it was also, yes. And it's also just very weird how Weevil has this, as a character, has always been one of the most interesting, if not the most interesting. Like, I know a lot of people who say he's the most interesting one. Mm-hmm. And they have, I feel like, really good opportunities to weave him in. And I do think that he's at least getting woven into this story, if albeit through slightly racist means this season. Whereas, like, Wallace hasn't been woven in at all, which is really stupid considering...
He's supposed to be Veronica's best friend.
He's Veronica's best friend, and he's Maddie's teacher. So he's a... it's so dumb. But... like in the past, Weevil, I feel like third season, they're like, we don't really know what to do with him because they kind of left him out of the friend groups, even when I feel like it didn't make sense. Like, do you remember how we were like, oh, like Weevil and Logan have so much chemistry. They should have like this great bromance. And they had like a few episodes where they were like friends on the down low, but then they never really quite followed through with that. And that just seems like a really missed opportunity to tell good stories if like Logan and Weevil are secret friends.
Yeah, it's friends. Like, I think they had to, they dipped back into the Logan is a spoiled rich kid who wants to use this kid rather than letting him and Weevil actually like become friends. Like, I feel like back then they were still leaning heavily on the Logan is a spoiled rich kid and we have to not forget that. And it's like,
and use Weevil for the thrills.
Right. And that's, and it pulled Logan's character growth back tenfold. Like, he could have been a totally different human being by the end of season three if they had just let him and Weevil like continue to be friends, as opposed to Logan constantly like seeing what he can use people for back then. Now I feel like he's changed quite a bit, and it doesn't seem like he's half the user he used to be. But, you know, like now if him and Weevil had the opportunity to like bond, I think they would have a better shot at it, because now Logan's not just looking at people for what they can do for him and what he can get out of them, but now he's like trying to be a decent human being and wants to make close relationships and be a good person. Like, you can see him trying to do all of that. So I feel like now maybe they'd have a shot at it, but Weevil, you know, has been burned one too many times. I don't think he would ever give him the opportunity now.
It would also mean so much more, like, if they had been real friends in high school, for like Logan to be the one pulling him aside now and being like, what are you doing with your life? Mm-hmm. Like, your wife, like, if someone's saying like your wife left you because of this, and they're saying it because they love you and are your friend, that's so different than Veronica just chastising from her high horse, being like, she's she's like quintessential like white woman, get your manager, like, in when she talks to him. And it's so frustrating.
Now I can't just stop thinking about how great of friends Weevil and Logan would be. And I'm very disappointed, because that would be wonderful. And then they could tag team Veronica and call her out for being terrible about some things. Like, to bring in the fact that Logan gets called away. He gets called away to go back on active duty and tries to say goodbye to Veronica. But of course she's not having it, because she's too busy for him, or just doesn't want to talk to him because of an earlier conversation, because how dare Logan want her to be mentally healthy. And it gets frustrating. And I feel like if Logan and Weevil were friends, like, they would be able to support each other. It would make confronting Veronica or helping Veronica easier. I think too, or more of a dynamic that I would enjoy. But I do want to quickly talk about Logan getting called away, because he gets called away. Obviously, Veronica does not answer the phone. He gets called away at a moment's notice. And Ariana, you put in the doc like that it calls into question kind of what he does for the military, which I think is a good question. We've heard that he's some sort of aviator. I think he's like some sort of naval aviator.
I don't think that's true.
No, is that not it?
I feel like this. Well, no, I'm just saying like whatever he's telling people he is, I don't think it is. Ooh. I feel like he has to be like a secret spy, right?
Like a SEAL. He's like a Navy SEAL.
Because like what else, like under what other circumstances would you be like, you have to leave right now? Like, I just feel like who knows more about the military than I do? Everyone, but somebody clarify.
I am not going to pretend to be some sort of expert or anything, but I have read books where characters are Navy SEALs or whatever, and there's one specific one that's kind of like floating around in my head right now. And he was working for the government as a SEAL and would constantly be called away on a moment's notice just like this. And he was on a special ops team that would rescue kids or like innocents who were taken hostage by terrible people, or like when there were really sensitive situations, like they would call in his SEAL team. Granted, this is fiction. It was a romance, so you know. But I'm pretty sure this author does her research, and like it never felt disingenuous. Like it always felt disingenuous. It always felt like it would be a possible, you know, way to live. Like it felt like it could be a job that he has. So like I kind of always just kind of put Logan in that place. Like I don't know if that's his job, but we kind of just get lines from him about like, oh yeah, this is what I do. But like, he never really like explains it. So I always just kind of assumed he was in a situation like that where he wasn't allowed to talk about what he was doing because it was so high profile and like sensitive because he's dealing with some of the more dangerous people on the earth. But you know, he just doesn't talk about it because that's not something you can do. You can't tell people what you're doing when you're away.
That makes sense, and also makes me angry at Veronica, because then he's going off and doing these like really emotionally taxing things only to have her like whining about problems that are not real, actually.
But in that case, would it be her fault? She doesn't know. Like, if she has no idea what he's doing when he's away, then all she has to feel is being upset because he's gone.
I mean, to be fair,
can we really blame her for that?
She's a PI though. So like, I think she would know maybe probably better than we do that, like what Logan's position could be when he gets called, like what his position could be that he gets called away at a moment's notice. Like you would think that she would have an idea of what he's going through. And then she just gives him all this shit when he gets back. Like, she doesn't even want to see him. She doesn't want to talk to him.
She needs to create problems because there's, like, not enough drama in her life to keep her interested.
To give Veronica a little bit of credit, the first time I was watching this episode, I got so mad at her, the way that she reacted to Logan's proposal to go to therapy together. And I still felt that way in every other episode this season when he brought something like that up, and she kind of just makes fun of him for it, for going to therapy essentially. But watching it back this time, I kind of got mad at Logan too. Like, I don't know if he's bringing this up in the right way. Like, she's already expressed disinterest in going to therapy and flat out said that she doesn't want to go with him. And the way that he brought it up was just like, yeah, we got an appointment tomorrow at 5. Like, let's go. Like, I don't think he went about it in the right way either. Like, of course she's going to get defensive if he's coming at it in a way that he's forcing her to do it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, therapy should be something that you accept, not something that you're dragged to.
And I mean, what Veronica hates she hates secrets, like, more than anything. And he has one that if he is doing something, like, dangerous, which it seems like he is since he can never tell her where he is, he can't tell her. And, of course, she's going to hate every moment of it. So, like, I can see why that would drive a wedge between them and why she would act a little more, like, she's not going to be the supportive girlfriend who's doing everything she can because he's keeping secrets from her and he can't tell her and she knows that, but it doesn't make it any less frustrating and doesn't change her personality type to be someone who can understand that and not have it rankle. You know what I mean? Like, she at her core is a PI who wants answers and wants to get to the bottom of things. And like having a boyfriend who's constantly being called away and who she doesn't know anything about what he's doing while he's gone or if he's in danger, like having all of that looming over your head is going to make you difficult. I mean, I can't even think of the word for it. Like, it's going to make her life really hard just based on who she is.
I mean, that's kind of a good segue into the next thing I wanted to talk about. Does all of that give her, I don't know, a reason or explain why she's getting closer to Leo? Because he's there, because he's not asking questions. Like, that dynamic in this episode obviously had been growing previously, but we get in this episode very much that there is definitely some sort of tension between the two of them at some point. Like, she's at Comrade Quack's and like dancing up on him. Is it because he doesn't have these secrets that she knows about and that he's like an unknown, that that's what's drawing her to him?
I think it's more so the leaving part. And there's a quote from the book that I'm trying to find that essentially, because Veronica's mom left her, and yes, I think that's still a bit of an issue, like a deep issue for her. So I think that might be the bigger thing, is that Leo stays there and Logan continues to leave. I'm just trying to find the quote here.
Well, and when you add in Lily's leaving, she didn't choose it, but like Lily left her too. And so I think the abandonment issues definitely have something to do with Veronica not handling Logan's leaving all the time very well.
Right. Here's the quote from Mr. Kiss and Tell. It's, Leo was here. He hadn't chosen to leave her. So I think that's a big deal for her. And which isn't coming across in the show at all. Like, she was upset when Logan left, but she didn't seem broken by it, which, that kind of makes it clear that she is. Like, it's something that really bothers her.
Yeah, she seemed more upset after the therapy conversation when she sort of walked out than she did when she realized that he had left, which is interesting. Kristen, because the rest of us have kind of seen what happens, do you think there is any possibility of Veronica being interested in Leo and cheating on Logan? Is she that kind of person? Do you think that's something that she could easily do? Or, well, maybe not easily, but actually do?
There is a moment in this episode, and I was not happy about it. I love Leo, but I just don't think that they have... I just don't think they click on, like, that level for me. Like, I've always seen them as friends, like, as equals. Like, just on a... They have very similar interests and all of that, like... I think they would be the best of friends if they could just leave it at that and stop trying to take it anywhere further. But there's a moment when they're on the steps outside her apartment where, and I know you're supposed to see it. I know we're all supposed to feel that moment where like they could have kissed or whatever, and it could have led somewhere more. And then the noise inside distracts them and, you know, it's gone. And as that moment was happening, I'm just like, no, 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 no. I'm like, please don't go there. Like, please don't. Like, I think she needs someone like Leo in her life who is kind of like the same role that Wallace used to fill, where she has like a friend and someone who's there and who's who needs her and who she needs and doesn't have any other motives. Like, doesn't, you know, like, he's not trying to get in her pants and he's not looking at futures and babies and whatever. Like, he's not thinking about all of that. She needs someone in her life who's just there to be her friend and who wants to, you know, care about her and be there for her. And so I always kind of felt like, despite the fact that Leo was gone for a while, like, he still is a, you know, he's always kind of been her friend and been around, and she always knew who he was and where he was. Like, she always had an idea. And so I did not want to see that line get crossed. And I'm glad that they got interrupted because they were both a little drunk and, you know, things happen. So I'm hoping that they can kind of stay on this side of the line and not cross over it, because I think she really does need him, but just in a different way than she needs Logan.
I mean, if she needs a friend, Wallace is right there.
I know, but I know, but he's a busy guy.
Yeah,
and I can see why she doesn't necessarily count on him as much as she used to.
Yeah, I think you're right that it's like she and Leo are more on the same page now. Like, Wallace has a family, got like a very stable, like very normal job. And like, I think we're all kind of in a stage of life where we're seeing this too. Like, as much as you don't want it to, like, that changes things in friendships. Like, when people kind of move to a different stage of life. So I can see why she would need something a little different in a friend.
Yeah.
The relatability, for sure.
Well, we touched on most of the things that happened in this episode, a lot of the big topics. Were there any moments or details that anyone would like to bring up and discuss further before we kind of move into wrapping up with our favorite scenes and favorite lines?
I thought the opening was really uncomfortable when Veronica was listening to the microphone in Nicole's office. That was the only thing. And then she just kind of goes and hangs out with Nicole later.
Yeah, and it's not really acknowledged at all in this episode. Oh yeah, they have that that party montage that's sort of a throwback to the one that was with like Dick and Logan, but this one is very much not as much fun as that one. At least that was, to me, it didn't feel as fun. Maybe it's because Dick wasn't there. I don't know, but
he is a party.
He's always got the party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was something that I had forgotten did not come back up in this episode, especially after the previous episode ended on her bugging Nicole's office.
Well, it did kind of come up. She said, I don't know what it says to me, says about me that as soon as, like, the only person I want to see after Logan gets sent away is the person whose office I've been bugging all week.
I don't know what that says about her either. But yeah, no, that was a very uncomfortable scene in the very beginning. But it did get a nice Keith and Veronica interaction to result from it.
Yes, loved that.
Which is really what I'm here for. I just want to watch Veronica, like, trade snaps back and forth for an hour. That's really all I need.
And it was so funny because in the last episode, I think you brought up Danielle, like, what if Keith becomes Veronica's secretary when he has to retire? And, like, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. No, I think it was me that mentioned it. But I as soon as he was, like, it was, as soon as he, like, got her attention and she was, like, black coffee, I'm like, oh, my God, it happened. Like, come on, Keith, just be her receptionist. It would totally be worth it.
I didn't think that he would actually get her coffee. So it was very enjoyable. Yeah. Any other moments to discuss in here? I mean, we're just talking at this point about some of our favorite scenes. So shall we move into our official favorite scenes?
Let's go.
Sure.
All right, let's do it. In terms of favorite scenes, mine was actually Logan when he's leaving, saying goodbye to the Maloofs, and the mom makes some offhand comment about, like, how sexy he is, because obviously. And then he turns around and answers her. And just the look on all of their faces and the reactions is so great. And Logan's, like, little smirk as he walks away. I love that scene, or I just love that moment. It sticks out for me for sure. Kristen, what was your favorite scene for this episode?
Mine was Leo kind of getting one up on Veronica, which I love, leaving the FBI files open on his desk when he like walks away from her in the police station, and knowing that Veronica's not just going to let an open FBI file like sit there. Like, of course she's going to read it. Of course she's going to take photos or whatever. And kind of using her to do the legwork that he doesn't have the manpower to do right now, like kind of sends her on this wild goose chase with the frat boys and like all of that. I just thought it was really well done that he knew she'd do it. She knew by the end, she puts together that he was using her to get the police work done that he needed done, and that they both kind of like are okay with it. Like, I know you did this and you know that I did it and all of this, and we're, you know what? It's just how this friendship works. Like, I love that that just kind of seamlessly happened without either of them like addressing it. And it just made my day.
It's the layers.
Yeah, it really is.
I love it. Ariana, what was your favorite scene for this episode?
I thought it was fun when they went dancing. The music choices were weird, but they looked like they were having fun, and that's nice.
They did look like they were having fun. Kendra, your favorite scene?
I liked, like I said before, when Keith walked into Big Dick's office. I was just like, hey, what about these companies that you guys are buying everything off of? I thought that was a great little Keith moment.
All right. And in terms of favorite lines, mine comes from Logan. And it's where he says, confession, it wasn't so much that I loved you and wanted to spend the rest of my life with you. It's just that your dad promised me his milk and goat, 2 bolts of Spanish silk, and 1 acre on the alley side of his estate. No man could walk away from that.
That was amazing.
His voicemail was great. And I loved that part of it. My actual favorite line was his response to Mrs. Maloof. But I do not want to butcher another language.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I chose this one instead. Kristen, you actually had my original favorite line. So would you please read that for us?
I mean, in true Kristen fashion, it's more of an exchange than a line.
Yes.
But it's from their conversation at the beginning when he kind of interrupts her and brings her coffee. And Veronica says, well, that person, whoever it was, is a real asshole. Alexa, who's the bomber? Keith, we don't have one of those. Veronica, then who the hell's been talking to me when you're not here? I just
beginning
love
credits.
Them and their wit. Mm-hmm. So much wit. But
So much fun. Ariana, your favorite line?
I really hate Weevil's sister, but it was funny when she said that he had a crush on Veronica back in high school.
I liked that too. Yeah, his sister is not my favorite. Oh well, I guess we can't choose our family or other people's families. And Kendra, would you round out our favorite lines here, please?
Sure. My favorite was during the receptionist exchange when Veronica told Keith that he's prettier when he smiled.
Okay. He does have a good smile, though, too.
So wonderful. It's true. All right. Well, those are our favorite scenes, our favorite lines, and our thoughts about this episode. And we really want to hear what you have to say. So please, please, please get in contact with us. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Tweet at us at re_watchable. You can come find us on Tumblr. We're at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also leave your thoughts for us on iTunes. We want to know what you think about the show, what you like, what maybe can be improved, what you think we should do next, perhaps. I don't know, anything like that. And while you're doing that, please also rate us 5 stars. By rating us 5 stars, a lot of other people can find our podcast and kind of join our big happy family. And honestly, I love the way our podcast is right now, but perhaps make it even more interesting with a little bit more feedback. So please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And as always, we have an incentive for rating us 5 stars on iTunes. So this week, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, then Karen will dig up information about someone who has been blackmailing you and then go confront them for you. So if you, I guess, are being blackmailed, then maybe hit us up with those 5 stars. Could really help. Karen can be pretty intimidating. Just ask her roommate. Kristen, can Karen be intimidating?
I mean, I would say yes.
Maybe.
She's got that stare down.
She's got the stare. Oh, and additionally, you can also leave us feedback and just chat with us, hang out with us in our Facebook group. You can find us on Facebook at Rewatchables Rewinders. That's the name of the group, not necessarily the handle of it, although I think the handle is Rewatchables Rewinders as well. But anyway, just search for that. You'll find us, and please come join us. Come join our conversations. We have just a little bit of listener feedback, or well,
I can
listener
explain.
Feedback. Yeah, go ahead.
I can explain it. So we've been tweeting out some fun things, and it's just been fun to see people's reactions to them. Like Karen tweeted out about how there's a new Funko, Atla Funko for New York Comic Con. Atla is Avatar the Last Airbender, and we did several seasons of this show. It was quite fun. You should go back and listen to it if you have not. And they're doing one for the Cabbage Man. Was anybody here? Nobody here was on it. So I guess that I'm just,
aww,
we can't have finally fun on this. That's fine.
I'm finally not alone.
There's no inside joke, people.
Well,
present.
For me to explain this joke and make it very unfunny, there's a recurring extra on this cartoon that sells cabbages, and he's called the Cabbage Man, and the kids always like run by and ruin his cabbage cart, and he's like, my cabbages. It's very funny if you watch the show. Basically, there was like 1,000 responses of people just saying, oh my god, because it's a great Funko that everyone should get.
I love it when Funko does that, when like they find like the inside joke and are able to like give us the perfect one. Like that's when they really get it. Like when they get that character that kind of exists on the show that everybody loves, that they don't, you know, isn't a main character or anything. They just kind of exist. Like when they get those right, then you know that you've really got something.
Thank you, Kristen, for contributing to this conversation.
You're welcome.
Our second thing is from Buffy. We do have some Buffy people, right? Brittany shared her originally, she made a poll back in our Buffy days about who had the best forearms on Buffy, and it was a very informative poll, and then she drew a pie graph based on the answers, but Riley got 1/5 of the votes in this poll, and there was a lot of contenders. Like Buffy got like 2% of the votes. It was really bad. So it was just very offensive to me that Riley got 1/5 of the votes. And Shelley Bookworm told Brittany, I can't believe you did this by hand, because she did draw it by hand. And all of us who know Brittany, I'm sure, can believe that she drew it by hand.
Very much so, yes.
Very, very much.
Very on brand for Brittany. I love it.
And it's a very nice little pie chart. It's very nice.
I assume, I haven't talked to Brittany about this, but I assume in the lead up to New York Comic Con, there will be more, especially in terms of Buffy, because they are having that reunion panel for Angel.
I'm sorry.
I corrected myself at the end. For Angel, we will get more Angel content, which is definitely up Brittany's alley. So if you are a fan of Angel, you can come and interact with her on Twitter. She'll love it. All right, well, before we wrap up for today, I do want to get into perhaps what might happen next week, because we do have Kristen who is watching week to week. Bless you. So it is now time for Kristen's contemplations for Veronica Mars Season 4, Episode 7, Gods of War.
I mean, this definitely makes you think that there's something's going to finally like come to a head here. Like we're going to get some of these rather scary players kind of coming to like bubbling to the top. Like I have a feeling the cartel guys are finally going to like rear their ugly heads and cause some true like panic, cause some true chaos. I definitely think this has some sort of connotation to Logan as well, because while we don't know what he's doing, he's a soldier, and war at him, like, there's definitely something I think that there might be a connection there too. And I would imagine that this probably involves Weevil too, since he's kind of woven into the cartel storyline, and him and Veronica have kind of been at war lately too. That I feel like he's got to be involved here too. So I would say we're going to see some pretty crazy battles.
Kristen, I don't know how you do it. But after you watch the next episode, please listen back on your predictions.
Okay.
Because just do it. Please just do it.
Will do.
Yeah. And let us know next week what you think. And please, everyone else, do the same. What did Kristen get right? What did she get wrong? Probably not much. But we will talk about that next time. And until then, I am Danielle.
I'm Kristen.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Kendra.
Talk to you later, marshmallows. Bye.
Bye.